Great. The council will come to order. Carly, could you please call the roll?
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Stan.
Here.
Potter.
The mayor is at our sister city in Mexico, and I am expecting Commissioner Adams, but we're going to get started. If you could read item 243.
Appeal of George Trinkus against Design Commission's decision to approve with conditions the application of TMT Development Company and Fox Tower, LLC, for a new 33-story mixed-use tower, Park Avenue West, at the site known as South Park Block 4, LU07-140633, MSZMAD.
Good afternoon. I'm going to have the city attorney walk us through the schedule and rules for this hearing, and then we'll call you up.
Am I premature up here?
Just a little bit.
Okay, sorry. I heard my name called and just...
Well, your quiet. Name is, assuming you're Mr. Trinkus, your name is part of the item. So, Lindley, if you could walk us through the agenda for the hearing.
This is an on-the-record hearing. It means you must limit your testimony to material and issues in the record. During this hearing, you may only talk about issues, testimony, exhibits, and other evidence that were presented at the earlier hearings before the Design Commission. You cannot bring up anything new. This hearing is designed only to decide if the Design Commission made the correct decision based on the evidence presented to it. If you start to talk about new issues or try to present new evidence today, you may be interrupted and reminded that you must limit your testimony to the record. The procedure for today will be as follows. We'll begin with a staff report by the Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and have 10 minutes to present his case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each person will have 3 minutes. This time limit applies whether you're speaking for yourself or on behalf of an organization. The principal opponent, in this case the applicant, will then have 15 minutes to address council and rebut the appellant's presentation. After the principal opponent, the council will hear from persons who oppose the appeal, and in this case that means support the application. If there is no principal opponent, the council will move directly to testimony from persons who oppose the appeal after supporters of the appeal conclude their testimony. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the opponents of the appeal. Council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If the vote is a tentative vote, council will set a future date for adoption of findings and a final vote. If council takes a final vote today, that will conclude the matter before council. There are several guidelines to announce for those who will be addressing council. The evidentiary record is closed. Because this is an on-the-record hearing, you must limit your remarks to arguments based on the record compiled by the Design Commission. You may refer to evidence that was previously submitted. You may not submit new evidence today. If your argument includes new evidence or issues, council will not consider it, and it will be rejected in council's final decision. Before we move on, there were a number of documents that were submitted to the council clerk. Most of those documents appear to be argument as opposed to evidence. However, I will note for council, there was one email that came in with from a Douglas McIntosh with 3 attachments, one of which appeared to be argument, 2 of which appeared to be correspondence with DEQ. That would be new evidence. And as we move through this hearing, it would be appropriate for council to make a determination whether that may remain in the record or should be rejected.
Okay. Great. So we'll start with the staff report.
Ex parte.
Well, I'm sorry. I forgot to check. Does anyone in the council have ex parte contacts they would like to disclose?
I do. As the Parks Commissioner, my staff and I have been intimately involved in the planning and development of Park Block 5. So, and that's been over the past 2 years. I've met with numerous parties regarding the future of the park, including representatives of TMT Development. But the proposed tower north of Park Block 5 has never been an item of discussion during any of those meetings.
Uh-huh. Any other ex parte contacts? I also have none to disclose. So with that, we'll ask staff to come forward. How long did you say for staff, Lindley? 10 minutes. Yeah. Good afternoon, and if you could try to keep to the 10 minutes, we'd appreciate it.
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Kara Fioravanti. I was the staff planner on this land use review.
And I'm Lloyd Lindley, and I'm the chair of the Design Commission, 620 Southwest Main, Portland.
And I'll begin. This is a Type 3 appeal of a design review of Central City Master Plan, Modification and Adjustment Review, LU07140633. And to be brief about the proposal, to begin, there were several components to this land use review. First, there was a Type 3 design review. There was also a Type 3 Central City Master Plan. There was an adjustment request to parking access restricted street. There was a modification to the loading stall size and the loading maneuvering. And there was a modification to the height of the rooftop mechanical area and the spire of the building. And I'll go through each of these. First, starting with the site, though, it's downtown, zoned CXD, Central Commercial with Design Overlay. It's within the Central City Plan District. It's within the Midtown Park blocks. And the adjacent streets are Park and 9th, Morrison, and Yamhill. This is the block proposed that will have the proposed building. The owner also owns all the other shaded areas, including this, which is Park Block 5. That's where the FAR is proposed to be transferred from this block to this block. The design review is for a new high-rise building, 33 stories, 460 feet tall, which is allowed by code. It's proposed at 23.7 to 1 FAR, and I'll describe how the building was able to get to that FAR. Retail is proposed at floors 1 and 2, office floors 3 through 22, and residential units floors 23 to 33 for 87 units. Parking is all below grade, 6 floors of parking for 341 stalls. The entries to the building are at 9th, and the parking and loading access is at Park. The design review approval criteria are the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. Now to describe the Central City Master Plan. Basically, what the proposal is taking the development potential, all the FAR that's allowed to be achieved on Park Block 5, and transferring it across the street to Park Block 4. So to run through the math quickly, Park Block 4 can achieve a 12-to-1 FAR, and it did through its base FAR and its bonus FAR. Park Block 5 has the same development potential, a base FAR and a bonus FAR. That leaves both blocks 24-to-1 FAR. So the park, Park Block 5, maintains 0.3-to-1 FAR for the small buildings that are constructed on that site, and the rest is being transferred to Park Block 4 through a Central City Master Plan request. And the Central City Master Plan approval criteria were in the zoning code. The project was found to be consistent with the Central City Plan policies. It was found to have adequate infrastructure. It provided adequate open space by providing a park, Park Block 5. It was not found to obstruct public viewpoints, and there was no required housing for this site. Real quick, this area that you see in the box, that exceeds the height limit. It's allowed to exceed the height limit if it's constrained. It's bigger than what code allows, but it was found to be finely crafted and well-designed and meeting the merits of the design guidelines. The adjustment and modifications regarding the loading and the parking. First, parking. All four streets are parking access restricted streets. So to allow for parking access to happen on this block, the applicant requested an adjustment to allow parking from Park Avenue, and that was found to be approvable. There was also two modifications regarding the loading. First is to allow the loading vehicles to back into the site from the street. The standard requires that all vehicles enter and exit in a forward motion. The other is to the loading stall sizes. They're proposing one standard and one substandard loading stall. The loading was a big area of concern during the process. Staff and the Design Commission reviewed about three different proposals, looking at ways to increase pedestrian safety, necking down that curb cut as much as possible, providing as many street trees and on-street parking spaces as practicable, and we settled on the best solution with that. Just to note, during this process, which was about 4 or 5 months, there was a separate land use review, a Central City Parking Review, and that was LU07169105. That was required because the parking access that you see here was within 75 feet of a light rail alignment, Morrison Street. And Central City Parking Review is required to be that have a access that close to light rail. The hearings officer was the review body for that and approved the proposal on December 6, 2007. He found that there were no conflicts with the MAX line. He also reviewed the proposal for pedestrian safety. Real quick, the process for this building. Prior to the Type 3 design review, there was a design advice request. That included a public hearing with the Design Commission on May 17th, and there was adequate notice at that time. The Type 3 design review, Central City Master Plan, the site was posted on August 20th. Notice was mailed on August 31st. There was the first hearing on September 20th. The hearing was continued. The site was reposted on November 21st, and the second hearing was on December 6th. This shows adequate public notice and meeting all zoning code requirements. And then finally, there's a memo for you dated today, and staff is recommending that you include this in the final decision. Basically, it elaborates on all the public testimony received during the process. The final decision was a brief summary of the number of people who testified and briefly describing their issues. This memo has an itemized list of all the people who testified and a more in-depth summary of their concerns. Obviously, we have an appeal today. The appellant is George Trinkus, and here's a list of his issues. Land use, FAR, no due process, traffic impacts, view corridors, Park Avenue vision, and affordable housing. And since the appeal has been submitted, there's been three additional letters listed here. And that concludes my report to you.
Boy, did you want to add anything?
Yes, I have some remarks from the Design Commission. Please. And what I'd like to say is that in June 2007, the Design Commission reviewed this project during three public meetings. That included a design advice request and two Central City Master Plan and Design Review hearings prior to the approval, and Kara just went over those in detail with the dates. Over the past 35 years, Portland has built infrastructure for a sustainable future by investing in light rail, which is going on outside your doors right now, streetcar, retail, retention and growth, increases in diverse housing stock and market rate housing, Pioneer Courthouse Square, Park Block 5, Portland Center for the Performing Arts, Portland Art Museum and Masonic Temple, and many other projects that aren't on this list, and you guys are probably all aware of those. This project sits at the city and regional center of mass transit, shopping, cultural venues, and employment. All of this investment was focused on attracting more people to live and work in the heart of downtown. This project's, I'd like to make 3 points today. First, our goal as a city is to become sustainable by growing in a compact, highly dense, urban form, and this project supports that. It includes 87 housing units, and just as a comparison, if these 87 housing units were developed in undevelopable or undeveloped areas, we would see them consuming approximately 10.5 to 11 acres. This project occupies about 0.5 acre. It also provides 90 parking spaces or bicycle parking spaces. There are 60 spaces in the building. 30 of them are long-term bike parking spaces, and 30 are residential spaces. There are also 36 to 40 spaces under Park Block 5. Second, this project also supports the goals of the city in that it is a catalyst development project that supports downtown commercial and retail businesses, and it supports Portland's desire to be a 24-hour downtown. Third, the Design Commission considered the FAR transfer from Park Block 5 through the Central City Master Plan process, and we found that this project fits within the land use and zoning requirements. I would like to recognize that TMT and Bob Thompson of TVA Architects were very responsive to the Design Commission's requests for modifying the building top and also modifying the surface entrance to better serve pedestrians on Park Avenue. In conclusion, this project will be a sentinel in our skyline, marking Portland's thriving downtown neighborhood. The Design Commission considered and unanimously supported this project, and we respectfully request that the council uphold our decision.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Design Commission or staff from the council? Great. Thank you. We'll call you back up after the hearing if anything arises.
Thank you very much.
And next we will hear from the appellant. So you're up, sir.
My name is George Trinkus, 623 Southwest Park.
And Mr. Trinkus, just before you start, you have 10 minutes, and there's a clock you should be able to see right there to keep give you a running sense of how you're doing on that time.
Thank you.
So keep an eye on it.
I think I can do it. I'm used to three, you know.
Well, then you've got plenty of time.
I want to thank you for hearing this appeal and thank the PDC for paying our $20,000 fee for this privilege. The developer wants to build a 35-story building on a three-story block in my eight-story neighborhood. He's asking for permission to break state code, the zoning code, on the basis of certain odd exceptions in the central city plan that allow for the addition of extra bulk. These are so-called FAR credits and transfers. Please note that the developer's own architect back here, Robert Thompson, whom I call Czar Thompson, was one of the authors of the Central City Plan, the local code that allows this dubious business. Talking about FAR, people's eyes glaze over. FAR means floor to area ratio, and it's a measure of the bulk of a building, and people think they can transfer it like some polluters think they can transfer emission credits, and sometimes this FAR is for sale on the open market, I understand. Traded, transferred, bought and sold, we can hope. Okay. I can assume that the councilmen know all about FAR and understand that Moore Tower is the first FAR transfer attempt since the Allegro, correct? And was that... That was a disaster. He tried to take theoretical FAR bulk from a TriMet plot in the Lloyd District and then install it in a condo tower across the river in Goose Hollow. Somebody blew the whistle, and the attempt was thwarted. Was it you, councilman, who decided on that case? Did it go to the city council? Yes or no? I don't hear a yes or a no. Do I get to ask these questions?
It did, but you're not going to get answers if you ask. This is your time to testify.
This is all declarative sentences, sir. We can hope that somebody is always there to blow the whistle, for the Design Commission is the only review panel that is procedurally in the way. You can blow the whistle at them, but they don't hear. So us whistleblowers have to come up here to you. In an 8-to-1 zone, the developer wants to build to a FAR of 24. Half of this, 12-to-1, is from FAR transfer, the rest from FAR credits. This is an extreme demand, and the architect's logic had better hold up. We will demonstrate that it does not. But first, in order to focus this appeal and make clear what Park Avenue Concern ultimately wants. One, cancel all FAR transfer and FAR credits for the proposed Moyer Tower. We'll argue that. Delete. Two, delete the FAR credit and transfer loophole from the central city plan in the upcoming revision. Three, while the Moyer Tower project is in process, no demolition, no building permits, no evictions, no hassle, no rent hikes on Park Block 4. Four, any plan for Block 4 gets a real land use review, honoring the criteria in Exhibit E, what is an acceptable land use review, submitted to the commission and not honored or acknowledged. Five, if building must on Park Block 4, the developer will honor the zoning code for height and bulk, will build compatibly with the neighborhood scale and tradition, and will meet with neighbors in order to scope the environmental impacts and to write guidelines for the mitigation of such impacts of construction as noise, dust, and equipment emissions. Six, you'll love this, establish a 2-year moratorium on construction for the South Park blocks from PSU to Southwest Washington. And the exception would be projects underway, like Ladd Tower, Esquire, and Park Block 5, which, thank you, are quite enough already. Seven, you know, we're contiguous to the bus mall activity, too. It's hell over there. Seven, make available the developer's residential building on the northwest corner of Southwest Park and Alder. It's variously called the Cornelius or the Alder Hotel for purchase by a nonprofit for affordable rental housing. And I understand that that attempt had been made in the past. Eight, give proper public notice that the historic Dental Arts building at Yamhill and Ninth is at risk so that those who might be concerned with its preservation or restoration have an opportunity to defend it. Okay, on the FAR transfer, we submitted to the challenge, we've submitted to the council a challenge to the decision of the design commission, which did approve this dubious transfer. The council needs to know the real history of Park Block 5 in order to make a decision about whether it has any theoretical FAR to transfer to a proposed Moyer Tower. None, is my history admissible here? I'm citing city code. The land use history of the design commission's decision is very perfunctory. So we're responding to that. So our challenge, in our challenge, we've done our own people's land use history of Park Block 5 and interested citizens. I have a few copies. The land use history in the design commission's decision is very perfunctory. So we've done our own. I hope if you have time to read it. Sam Adams, you were assistant to Mayor Katz, who signed many of the ordinance, is signed, cited in our history. And I wonder, I would, if I could ask you questions, I'd ask if you have any firsthand knowledge to contribute. We derived this whole history from documents. And does our history ring true? Through all the hearings, I've contended that a park, by definition, has no aerial bulk, no theoretical FAR to transfer. This is an argument of logic and linguistics. I said, please explain how a park defined everywhere in the world as an open public space can have any FAR to transfer. This question was never answered. It was not acknowledged as being asked in the 35-page decision, maybe the commission found it an embarrassing question. Our history is at variance with the one in the press lately that makes the developer the hero of Park Block 5. Over 10 years ago, the same developer, Tom Moyer, proposed a 12-level parking structure on Park Block 5, which was then a surface parking lot. This project was defeated by the people in 1997. They had appreciated Block 5 as an open public space even then, and this was before construction of Fox Tower or the Paramount Hotel. In order to thwart any development there in the future, the people had the city declare Block 5 as a city park. The status has been affirmed and reaffirmed through the years in various resolutions and ordinances cited in our land use history. So my assertion of Block 5 as a parkless open space called a park has plenty of legal foundation. Ordinance numbers are cited. Now let's look at the notion of park credits and transfers generally. This becomes a discussion in terms of public benefit. You're familiar with that of sacrifice? I'd add that term at a quid pro quo. The evidence of a clear public benefit is an established criterion for park credits, and a park transfer, a clear sacrifice for the public benefit would also be a reasonable criterion, and a tangible quid pro quo would be another. So let's imagine that Moyer did get away with that building, a 12-story parking structure on Block 5 back in 97. There the ugly thing sits, the public agitates, the developer seen the light, repents, he tears the eyesore down, magnanimously doting the land in toto to the city for a park. Here's a clear public benefit and a sacrifice also would be arguable. Of course, for the transferring of FAR, the developer would have to demonstrate that one plot necessarily has anything to do with the other. 1970s, public benefit, quid pro quo, sacrifice. 1970s, surface parking lot, open aerial space, catering trees. That goes to 206, 206 to 207, construction sacrifice zone. That is your park block 5. And at 208, a four-profit, six-level underground parking facility opens, creates a negative traffic and pedestrian impact. It's a barren asphalt slope. The trees are gone, two homely elevator sheds. Please demonstrate the public benefit, the sacrifice, the quid pro quo. Park Block 5 has, since at least the 1990s, been perceived by the public as a valued open space. And since 1997, has been legally a part, defined everywhere in the world as a public open space, and could conceivably have no theoretical aerial bulk, any part transfer whatsoever to transfer. And in my last 15 seconds, I'll give my credentials on that. I have done graduate work in linguistics. I've been employed as a lexicographer with Holt Reinhardt and Winston. I was a consultant to the Random House Dictionary Style Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the council have any questions for the appellate?
I just wanted to fact check that comment that I wanted to fact check the comment that it was Mr. Moyer's proposal to build the parking structure on Park Block 5.
Yes. I had that document right here in the room. I believe it's a PDC document about Park Block 5, and I can get the exact title for you if you wish.
Thank you.
Any other further questions? Thank you. And you'll have 5 more minutes for rebuttal after the applicant's testimony.
Pardon?
You'll have 5 minutes to rebut the applicant's testimony after we get through that.
Thank you.
Great. I think we'll now hear from supporters of the appeal. Would anybody like to testify?
No one signed up.
Nobody signed up. Would anybody like to testify in support of the appeal? Okay, then we'll hear. Please. Come on up. Yeah. Even if it's short, you have to sit and talk into the mic for the record. So if you could just introduce yourself, and you have up to 3 minutes.
I'm Roslyn Aronson. I also live at 623 Southwest Park Avenue. I manage the building. It's a residential low-income building. I'm concerned primarily about the noise pollution, the traffic pollution, and the air pollution from all the extra traffic that's going to occur after the building is built with six underground levels of parking. I just think it's too big of a project for that block. It's a great project, but I would love to see it on another block. I'm also concerned with just making sure that it is a proper use of that land. And so I support the appeal so that you can study that. And if it is decided that that building can go forward, that it is decided by the city council rather than those who have already decided. I also just want to say that the traffic study that was presented at one of the design commission meetings I attended, from my understanding, was paid for by the developer. I would like to see the city do a traffic study, the impact of that much added traffic in that area. I also submitted something along with another resident from our building.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll now hear from the applicant and have up to 15 minutes.
Hopefully we won't need that long.
That would be fine, but it's up to you.
Thanks for your time today, and in the interest of respecting that time, we will be brief. I do want to correct Mr. Trinkus's assertion that it was Mr. Moyer that proposed the 12-story parking garage. That was
Could you state your name for the
record? Oh, sorry. Vanessa Sturgeon.
Thanks, Caroline.
805 Southwest Broadway, Suite 2020. So Actually, it was the Goodmans that proposed the 12-story parking garage. Mr. Moyer purchased the block from the Goodmans to donate it to the city in 1998. The appeal that's before you today is an unusual one in that there are no really cogent legal issues to be vetted. The facts cited in the appeal are largely from the appellant's own testimony at prior hearings on the project. So where most people Mr. Moyer's age won't even buy green bananas, he is working on new projects like the Park Avenue West, the condemned Cornelius Hotel, which is traded again and again because no other developers have been able to make it pencil. Both the Design Commission and the planning staff have found that the Park Avenue West meets all code requirements, and the approval is the result of three public hearings, one of them being advisory, and many, many meetings with the Downtown Neighborhood Association as a whole and separately with their transportation committee. We've worked with Nordstrom's and structured a good neighbor agreement to coordinate delivery times. And I think that it was said at the Design Commission meeting that we have gone above and beyond as far as what we needed to do in cooperating with both the city and our neighbors. And you're going to hear more from Bob, so I'm going to give myself the hook. But I'll be up here if you have any questions.
My name is Robert Thompson. I'm a design principal with TVA Architects, designing the project for Mr. Moyer. And as Vanessa said, I mean, we've spent an inordinate amount of time over the last 2 years working with the city, not only on Park Block 5, but also obviously on Park Block 4. And we've been, as architects, obviously, we are very concerned that we're following the proper process, working with the city, and that we are obviously adhering to all applicable governing agencies that have control over that property. You know, and as Vanessa says, we have been working with the City of Portland Planning and Transportation Department, obviously, on this project since the beginning, and of which they've deemed that we're in full compliance with the applicable codes. We've been working very closely with the City of Portland Design Commission, again, with unanimous support and approval from them. And we've also had four separate meetings with the downtown neighborhood associations that have privy over this project. So I just want to express our concern that everybody's aware that we feel that we have done everything per the letter of the code, per the letter of the law, and that the process we feel has gotten us to where we are today. So if you have any questions, we'll be here to answer those.
Questions from the council for the applicant? Looks like we're done. Thank you very much. Would anybody like to testify on behalf of the applicant?
We have four people signed
up. Four people? Okay. No. Could you call the first three?
It'd be Fred Faluk, I believe it is, Erwin Mandel, and Lily Mandel.
Terrific. Come on up. I will not explain the process to the Mandels.
Don't wait.
The other gentleman, if you could sit up here, you'll have 3 minutes, and there's the clock there.
This is my first time. If I get out of line, throw me out, okay?
We know what to do, so.
My name is Fred Faveluk. I live in Southwest Portland, 7128 Southwest Capitol Hill Road. I believe the Design Commission made the correct decision the first time around, and this appeal should be thrown out. The council should uphold the decision of the Design Commission. This new building replaces a worn-out old building with the modern office space downtown, and I think that that follows the spirit of Portland. Most folks in this town want to see us build up rather than out. I often get off the bus at Barber and Twilliger and have a lovely view of I-5 traffic at 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon, and see that the traffic coming back into town is heavier than the traffic going out. And I'm imagining that many of these folks live here downtown, close in southeast, and drive to work and stare at a computer screen in a gleaming office complex in Tigard. I believe that density is a step towards energy independence, and we need to decide if we want to look like San Francisco or Los Angeles, either one. And I believe the project should go forward. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Irwin Mandel, if I could have Mr. Trinka's attention for one moment, because I don't think he heard Ms. Sturgis. The Park Block 5 originally belonged to the Goodman interests, who planned to build a 12-story garage there, not Mr. Moyer. Mr. Moyer paid Goodman $5 million to prevent that parking garage from rising, in addition to which he donated that land to the city to be used as a park, and additionally he donated another $1 million towards the cost of the park. So perhaps you could correct your record, Mr. Trinkus. Now, the Design Commission held several hearings before finally approving this building. I attended all the hearings. At each hearing, the appellant was given every opportunity to express his objections. He was listened to very carefully and very respectfully. It is crystal clear from the final report that the building has met all approval criteria as described in the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. Some commissioners were effusive in their praise of the building as a valuable addition to the Central City and voiced regret that it could not be even taller in order to emphasize its iconic status. I have not heard the appellant present any rational reason for not upholding the decision of the Design Commission. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lily Mandel. I am here to rhapsodize about this building. This building will resuscitate the Central Core. This building will be infused with life. This building will be active. This building will have retail. This building will have office space. This building will have living space. During the day, this building will be alive with office workers. In the evening, this building's tenants will come home. Day and night, this building will be busy with retail activity. This building has it all. Jane Jacobs must be cheering for this building for having so many eyes on the streets at all times. This sculptural tower with its majestic spires and four different faces is an architectural gem. Wow, at night this building will glow and will be downtown's beckoning, brilliant beacon. Thank you, Mr. Moyer, for your Valentine to the city. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next name?
The last person who signed up is Marlon Warren.
Mr. Warren, can come up. Does anybody else want to testify?
Do I get to?
No, I'll call you back up. It's not your turn yet.
Pardon?
We're still doing supporters of the applicant. Then you'll be after that.
Oh, okay.
You want to speak to opposing the appeal? It's too late.
Good afternoon. My name is Marlon Warren. I live at 3805 Northeast 11th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97212. First of all, I'm in support of the project, but first I want to do a little bit of history and why I am in support of this project. If one looks at the Pioneer Courthouse, which was built in 1869, it's the oldest federal building in the Northwest. And if one compares that and looks at the sculptural style of what the Park Avenue West is, you can tell that the first thing that's most striking is the symmetry and the parallels between, like, the spear on Park Avenue West. And then if you look at how that's lined up with two blocks to the east, we have the courthouse. And it appears that the architect is looking far into the future, because the way it's lined up, it's almost like the Nordstrom's building is there. But you can tell if Park Avenue West becomes an historic building like many other buildings around parks in Portland, that it's prepared to do that. Also, I want to do a little bit of history real quickly about how I think this, how important this project is. If you go to, like, New York City, where you have the Lever House and the Surgrams Building, the Lever House was built in 1952, the Surgram Building was built in 1958, and these two structures are kind of like classic buildings of how modern architecture should be. And you can tell that TVA architects have paid very close attention to that. Also, in 1948, the Commonwealth Building built here in Portland and designed by another prominent architect whose firm later went on to become SOM, who has done some of the best work here in Portland, which working my way up to the Park Avenue West is that you can tell that TVA architects' attention to detail carries on that tradition of so many great American architects, be it Pedro Bellucci, Mies van der Rohe, Richard Meyer, the great work of SOM in the 70s here in Portland, the Bancorp Tower. I mean, there is undeniable distinction that this is probably going to be a very classic Portland building. And I guess that's all I have to say, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify. And I think that Portland should be proud that we have this homegrown architect who hired a local, also, you know, contracting firm. So it is definitely a local product, and I think that's good for sustainability. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir?
Hi, Cray Price from Troutdale, Oregon. I spoke at the previous public hearings on the opposite side, and at the risk of appearing like a flip-flopper, I would like to speak in favor of it. Each time I've voiced several issues in opposition and several issues for. Don't believe it's as clear-cut as for or against. I am in favor of the building's design. I am in favor of rejecting the appeal and continuing to allow the design to go forward. However, I am disappointed that there was not some way to incorporate some part of the Park Block vision into the design. Looking at the design of the building, it would be a grand addition to any skyline anywhere, but that's just the problem. It could be plopped anywhere. There's nothing I saw about the design that lends itself to anything special about the Park Block status, what we're still calling a Park Block even once the building is up. The design, I would love to have seen something incorporated into the sidewalk, some sort of pedestrian zone on either side. The traffic on either side of this won't allow that. The other suggestion I had made at previous hearings was for some sort of observation deck. If you're going to maximize profits, of course you want to maximize the building's footprint at the bottom and the retail space. If we can't do away with that, then perhaps something up at the top could be done. To maximize profits, you'd want to stratify that, and the folks at the top wouldn't want to see somebody like me or anybody else hitting the elevator button going up to the top. I, for one, think this is a gem, as the previous folks here testified. And going up to the top of that, I work right next door. I've been there for 5 years. I would love to be able to go up and take a look at this grand city, to see signs, panoramas, have it be a park on top, be able to look out, see see the Old Town, see Washington Park, Mount St. Helens, Mount Hood, see everything from up there. I'm afraid, though, with the way the building is designed, it's going to be off limits to anybody like me, the general public. I would love to see that incorporated. If not, I just wanted to go on the record and say I wish it had been done, and I wish we had had some sort of pedestrian zone vision on the streets that could have allowed for continuity between the North and South Park blocks. But I'm in favor of the building. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Terrific. Thank you. I'll now ask the appellant to come back up. And you have you'll have 5 minutes to rebut the testimony that you've heard.
Thank you. The ownership of Park Block 5 is in the county record, and Moyer is the owner from the beginning of when we have record until 2006. And Moyer's ownership was under various business names. These include a Central City Parking, a Moyer Trust, an Uptown Development, a Sadler Company, all Moyers. And the record shows the official ownership of Park Block 5 shifting from one Moyer entity to another. So in 1998, a foundation, which may have been Moyer's, assumes ownership. And the look of it was that this was the pass of the land to the city, and the city never got the land. The land was never passed to the city, and a surface rights agreement was just worked out quiet with the PDC in 2006. So in 1998, a foundation assumes ownership in response to this protest to this 12-story structure on Moyer's property, whether he was a developer or not, maybe moot. The city buys the land there, as that was highly advertised, but does it? One record shows an Oregon Community Foundation, which may be a Moyer entity, bought the block from Moyer City Center parking with the express intention of preserving it for a park. References to the purchase of the block and tire without any reference to separate surface, subsurface, or aerial rights. Indeed, the city did work out and put into city code an agreement to take ownership. But why do the county records not show such a transfer to the city? Instead, they show a continuing ownership by various shifting Moyer entities, ultimately with the Maryland Moyer Trust. Until this 2006 PDC arrangement for subsurface, for surface rights only transfer, there is no reference to any giving of this land. Now, money has passed hands, and this was mentioned. So we have a donation of $5 million coming from this foundation to whom? I don't know. It would be interesting to track this down. I mean, this is great investigative reporting challenge here. Some just note that this charitable gesture, though, was made 10 years ago, not yesterday afternoon, as the press would have you believe in recent articles. If a FAR transfer was worked out in this time, where are the records? Not in any of the documents have I seen a FAR transfer deal worked out, which could give any substance to the claim that the plot has FAR or that Moyer has the right to transfer said FAR. So what happened to this money? Not a park. This is the best endowed non-park that ever existed. Did the money work its way back to Moyer? Certainly. Was there some unacknowledged quid pro quo with the city that came with it? Moyer certainly did collect a nice tax deduction in the process. And Sam Adams, I'd love to pick your brains because you may be the public memory here. You shake your head if you had nothing to do with Park Block 5 and Beer's reign. So on this matter of, you know, Czar Thompson's continuously telling us that about the 24-hour city, and this is reflected and everything Czar Thompson says basically reflected in the decision by the Design Commission. The Design Commission said this will certainly jumpstart development activity to make the section town what it's destined to become, the 24-hour city. Well, who's deciding this destiny for us? Evidently, judging from the hearing, we've been to it. Czar Thompson, making this decision of destiny for it. That's what we've observed. It's one architect, one developer's architect, dominating a rubber stamp panel of compliant technocrats. Is this how it works for all development projects? Is this why we're getting things like this 17-level conundrum over here for traffic? This is planning. What are these high-impact decisions doing in such hands? The Design Commission is a technical panel, has no political sensitivity, and that is why we're here. Thank you. There's been no due process. You've heard a lot about that lately, and this is an instance, indeed, of outcome-based decision-making and no due process, and you'll find an exhibit dedicated to that. Thank you.
Thank you. I would move to council discussion. Does the council have any more questions for staff?
I have a motion.
Okay.
Quick questions for staff, just for the public that might be listening in.
Could the staff come back up? Thank you.
Okay. I just want to run through these very quickly. Okay. Are you aware that the city has broken the code in any way in evaluating this project?
No.
Okay. And are you aware of anything related to FAR transfer that is not allowed under the rules and laws of the in which govern this kind of transaction?
An FAR transfer is allowed through the Central City Master Plan, and FAR does exist on this site simply because of its zoning as CX.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Great, thank you. And Lindley, did you have a couple of questions?
Two procedural items. One is to remind you that staff had presented some additional findings to amend. The second is to deal with any additional evidence. And I had three different items that were submitted that are probably new evidence that you'd want to deal with, whether to accept them in the record or not.
Well, I would move that we adopt the February 13th, 2008 memorandum. That's what you want us to adopt. I'll do that first, I guess.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Roll call on that motion.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stinn?
Aye. And then I would...
Should I identify the three items just so they're clear for the record?
I think we have them. Do you have...
There's one additional. So there are the two Douglas McIntoshes, a five-page email chain and a three-page, both titled Air Contaminant Permit for Park Block 5. And then this document that you just received with the pictures of the buildings, although the person testified before the Design Commission, this document was not submitted. So we probably should, his testimony is fine, but not this.
I would move that we accept all those as evidence.
You would?
Well, I think she's saying not to.
Not to.
Yeah.
These were not before the Design Commission, so.
Okay, sorry.
You rebel.
So would you like to amend your motion? Or
yes, I would amend my motion that we not accept that new information into the record.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Adams?
I think it's an excellent document, though. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stinn?
It was outstanding. Aye. Okay. Is that covered, Lindley? So I would open it up to a motion on the case itself.
Mr. President, I move that we reject the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to uphold the Design Commission's decision and reject the appeal.
Lindley has a clarification, apparently.
If you would state in your motion that, and you would adopt the Design Commission's findings as amended by what you did today, that would help, please.
Okay. I move that we reject the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's recommendation, including the amendments.
And adopting the findings as amended.
And adopting today. The findings as amended.
Without objection, I'll rule the motion to be so rewritten, and we'll not take another vote. And we'll call a roll call on the motion to reject the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's findings.
Adams.
Well, I want to... I want to thank the appellant for making his case. I know it was heartfelt, but we are governed by a system of laws, and it was not persuasive enough for me to side with the appeal. I also would just like to state that I think that this modern design will be a welcome addition to the city's skyline. That Mr. Moyer and his company have, based on everything I know, been one of the most generous investors, one of the most generous donors to the city government, which I appreciate. And I would agree with Lillian that this is a great Valentine to the city. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I also want to... commend the design of this project. I think it's outstanding and really does enhance the vibrancy of downtown. And I want to thank Mr. Moyer and TMT Development for coming forward with a great design and the architects, and also for your generosity in donating Park Block 5 to the city. So I'm pleased to support this. Aye.
Stinn.
I agree. Aye. So the appeal has been rejected, and the Design Commission is upheld.
Adjourned.
Aye. Council is adjourned.
Unless Lindley has
more corrections.
More corrections for us.
If she does, it's too late.
You can call us back. Yeah, we'll come back into session.